This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Let's welcome to the program Washington and Lee University School of Law Professor Mark Drumble. He's also the director of the school's Transnational Law Institute. He joins us on the line from his office in Lexington. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Coy. How you doing?
Very good. You have a new book out, Atrocity, Punishment, and International Law. And I guess the best place to begin with, what's the book about? What's the thesis?
Well, Coy, what I look at in this book is a question that we actually don't think about so much, namely, what is the appropriate way to punish someone that we find guilty of, let's say, genocide, crimes against humanity, or serious war crimes? So what do we do with the really bad guy once we've convicted the really bad guy of something? So the simple answer, for example, is, well, you throw him in jail. An even simpler answer is you give him the death penalty. What I say is that we need to be doing a lot more than that. And the basic thesis of the book is that when it comes to punishing individuals who engage in this kind of really bad behavior, we need to go beyond the jailhouse. We need to go beyond what we're presently doing and think a lot more about forms of justice that include things like reparations, financial damages, sort of political change, even things like reconciliation, even things like reintegration. Because let's not forget, there's the really bad guy at top, but generally these kinds of crimes become really broad in focus because an awful lot of very, very ordinary people become involved. And in many places where this kind of violence takes place, people actually want much more in terms of justice than just having someone locked up in jail.
Mark, you and I were talking earlier today, and you said, you know, what we're doing right now with these folks that we know are involved in the war on terror, in this war on the United States, we have them in our custody, and what we're doing is not enough. What are the implications of us not doing enough with these people?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think that one thing that trials do well is that they tell a story. They are a great educational device. You know, trials are kind of like the theater. You know, people get involved, people learn from it, and at the end of the day, when people in public see a really bad guy convicted, it serves an educational function, and it also, you know, serves to tell us that we're doing the right thing in prosecuting, we're doing it the right way, and also that, you know, justice is being done. So when we look at our own conduct in the war on terror, we're not doing that. What we're doing is, on multiple fronts, taking a lot of people that we suspect of being really bad guys and locking them up in indefinite detention, for example, at Guantanamo, or in jails across, you know, Eastern Europe. You know, the CIA used to have an operation. When we do give them a little bit of process, it's not real due process. It's not a public trial. You know, and it has given rise, you know, only in America, right? Only in America can someone be detained at Guantanamo and not get a hearing, but have access to the smartest legal minds in the country to challenge the fact that he's not getting a hearing, resulting, I'm serious, and this results in, you know, there have been three or four major court decisions. In fact, one just came down yesterday in Richmond with regards to a foreign national who's in a brig in Charleston.
And I want to ask you about that Fourth Circuit Court decision. But before we go there, if I hear you right, we've got these guys that we arrest internationally out there somewhere in the world. We know they're involved in the war on terror. And oftentimes, we never hear from them again. They're off in some secret CIA prison, or they're down at Guantanamo. We know in some cases they're being tortured, whatever you want to call it. And yet, they're not being tried in a very, if I hear you right, they should be not stuck away in some CIA prison. They should be in a very public, well-publicized, open trial so we can see the rule of law, a society governed by the rule of law, really sticking it to these guys.
Absolutely. So here are the problems. One, because we haven't learned what they've done, the problem is that a lot of people assume that they really haven't done anything wrong. Secondly, America used to be associated with Nuremberg. You know, after World War II, you know, Churchill wanted summary execution of the Nazis. Stalin wanted a little, you know, one-hour-long show trial followed by summary execution. Truman and the Americans said, no, we got to do it right. We got to preserve our own dignity. We've got to prosecute fairly, and then the world will learn from the convictions. I think the world has learned from that. We, though, today, haven't learned, because that's not what we're doing. And as a result, throughout the world, the thought association with the United States is no longer with the dignity of Nuremberg, right? But it's with the sort of secrecy and the legal black hole of Guantanamo. So we've moved from Nuremberg to Guantanamo, and I don't get the logic behind it, because at the end of the day, the government tried to avoid the law, but going back to what I said before, it's hard to avoid the law in the United States. These great lawyers have ensured that the detainees have won cases in the Supreme Court of the United States, guaranteeing them some kind of hearing. We're still not doing it. So we've, in fact, created more problems than we necessarily may have avoided. And let's remember, in the war on terror, as I see it, it's a war in the name of law. It's a war in support of law. It's not a war against law. And as a result, we've got to think of the law as our friend.
Mark Drumble is a Washington and Lee University School of Law professor. His new book is Atrocity, Punishment, and International Law. If I hear you right, you're saying that one of the greatest tools for educating people about what happened in World War II was a trial, was Nuremberg.
Oh, not just people living at the time, Coy, but, you know, unborn. Like today's generations, right, are learning about Nuremberg in large part from the trial. And I think we could have done something similar. Like, we could have built a narrative and an educational device that would help instruct the world of the evils of terrorism. Instead, we've created a system where a lot of people, particularly the people we really need to be reaching, you know, you and I, we're not the audience. Who is the audience? The audience are the average people in a lot of average towns throughout the Arab world who need to be engaged in the notion that terrorism is unacceptable in all situations and all times. Instead, what are they learning from us? They're learning from us that we engage in torture or whatever, you know, at a minimum, you know, human rights abuses.
We suspend habeas corpus.
Suspend habeas corpus. We take pictures of it, like in Abu Ghraib. We have secret prisons. We have initiated an entire national conversation now whether we need to follow any law in the process of responding to the terror threat. And you know what? I think we're better than that. And I think we're stronger than that. I don't think we need to be so scared of saying, look, if you are involved in this activity, we have the strength, the competence, the intelligence, and the ability to prosecute you and get convictions if you are guilty. And if you're just some stray person who is picked up randomly and you didn't do anything wrong, we have the integrity to say, that's okay. You did not, you know, in a proven sense, do anything wrong. At the end of the day, Coy, here's another strange story. The first major case that went up to the United States Supreme Court was called the Hamdi case, and it involved a U.S. citizen who was accused of being involved in the terroristic activities, and the government said, you're an enemy combatant, we're going to take away your right to a trial. Instead, we're going to treat you in this secretive manner. He goes to the Supreme Court. He wins. Justice O'Connor, who has since retired, says, hey, the war on terror is not a blank check for the president. So this really bad guy, do you know what ended up happening with him, Coy?
No, I actually don't.
After he won, instead of prosecuting him, which, of course, the Supreme Court said you should do, you know, prosecute this guy. But in an open court, the United States government sent him back to Saudi Arabia. How about that?
We just let him go?
Yeah, he's back in Saudi Arabia. We never learned what he did. We never were able to use that trial as a mechanism for us to teach the rest of the world that we can prosecute people with dignity, like, you know, Telford Taylor did at Nuremberg. We can judge people with dignity the way Robert Jackson did at Nuremberg. Instead, we said, okay, you know, we don't want to give you a trial. The Supreme Court says we have to. So instead, we're just going to do nothing, and you're going to go back home.
Mark, does it have so much to do with the secretiveness of the Bush administration that perhaps they're wary of any public trials because they're just so afraid of people really knowing what they know?
I don't know. The other thing is, I understand fully that there's always a balance between national security and law, but you know, these folks have been at Guantanamo now. I mean, it is going to be, my friend, 6 years in some cases, look, starting this fall, okay? So let's say it's 5 years, all right, so far, and it's going into the sixth year. Any info that, you know, they may have from a security purpose is probably stale. And at this point, I think, and I have to agree with what Colin Powell said, you know, on the talk shows on Sunday, let's close it down, because at the end of the day, I don't see what the upshot is. And in terms of the public relations, there's a real negativity to it. And to come full circle to my major thesis, you know, in the book where we started off, you know, you can't give someone responsible for mass atrocity, you know, his just deserts. You can't do that because the crime they commit is much greater than any punishment you can inflict on them. You can't really, you know, in a certain sense, deter someone who is some terror, you know, it has this apocalyptic terrorist mindset. But what you can do is what I say is the major function of the trial: teach the world, express your moral decency, condemn people who violate the laws of nations like terrorists do, and at the end of the day, build up, you know, day by day, judgment by judgment, a moral consensus that terrorism is unacceptable in all places, at all times. And I think we could have done a better job at that over the past 5 years.
It's just a long list of missed opportunities to win the hearts and the minds of people around the world, especially in the Middle East, especially some of those young people who are very vulnerable to the messages of the extremists.
Yeah, you know, Coy, there's a great line from a judgment by the Israeli Supreme Court, because they've faced these issues as well, you know, in Israel, where this kind of violence is, I don't think it's a daily reality, but it's getting up there. I mean, it's a very difficult situation. And, you know, many years ago, the Israeli Supreme Court ruled in a case that involved how far can coercive interrogation methods be imposed on who was at that point a Palestinian detainee suspected of terrorism. And the court ruled that you can't really go all that far. And why? The reality is, in the words of the court, that democracies have to fight with one arm tied behind their back. Democracies always win, but they have to fight with one arm tied behind their back. And that is the reality, that we have to maintain our dignity. But that arm tied behind the back is very short term, because at the end of the day, what is a victory in the war on terror if we've lost our dignity, our constitution, if we become a nation where torture is normalized, if we become a nation not of laws, but beyond laws, then I don't know what we're winning, Coy.
Mark Drumble is a professor of law at Washington and Lee. Mark, real quick here, we've got a couple of minutes left. What is your take on the recent ruling in Richmond with the Fourth Circuit Court?
Well, I think you had a split ruling, 2-1, where the majority says, hey, when you have a foreign national in the United States who is picked up and accused of terror activities, you cannot declare him unilaterally an enemy combatant without providing some kind of judicial process. So the president just can't come in and say, you know, hey, you're an enemy combatant, we're going to lock you up for several years. So in a sense, it follows in the steps of the case I mentioned earlier, the Hamdi case. That case involved a U.S. citizen. Now we've got this guy, he was in Peoria, Illinois, right? You know, if it plays in Peoria, well, right. You know, this guy was in Peoria, Illinois, a student, and was picked up, and the government believes is responsible for terrorism. By a 2-1 vote, the Fourth Circuit in Richmond a couple of days ago says, hey, you have to give him a hearing. You have to provide publicly some info about what that person did in order to justify declaring him an enemy combatant. And really, this individual ought to be prosecuted in the courts. And I applaud that, in the sense that we need to have some check on executive authority. And at the end of the day, it's important for us to maintain our dignity. We've invested a lot of effort over the past couple of years in defending this country, and in that process, we've also invested a lot of what I think is misplaced effort in terms of circumventing or avoiding the law. I think we need to have more confidence in our ability to prosecute wrongdoing and do so successfully and be a role model to the world.
I'd like to believe that personally that these young men and women who have died in this war and who are dying and will die, they're not dying for George Bush. They're dying for the principles that are at the heart of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which is a society governed by a rule of law.
Right, and I honestly cannot look at someone in the eye right now and say that the conduct of the executive in the past several years, you know, has always remained on that particular course. And I, for one, am grateful that there is a judicial system that is willing to say, hey, you know, there's only so far that you can go, because I think that in the long run, it's a healthy approach. But of course, as I set out in my book, these things are complicated. You're dealing with really bad guys. It's easy to be theoretical and philosophical about it. But as far as I'm concerned, we're giving people who commit genocide in Rwanda, who commit genocide in Bosnia, who've killed, you know, 1.7 million people in Cambodia, you know, in all of these places, we're giving defendants a lot of due process. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And we need to do the same in our own backyards. We support tribunals all over the world who prosecute really bad guys and do so with due process. We need to act consistent to those principles and also support that approach when we ourselves were the victims of a terrible atrocity on September the 11th. It's important to be consistent.
Mark Drumbel is a professor of law at Washington and Lee University. His new book is Atrocity, Punishment, and International Law. Mark, thank you as always.
Thank you, Coy. It's a great pleasure. And as a final little spiel, the book's available on Amazon.com.
There you go. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.